Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Graby, a member of the Board of Counselors and a member of the Spirituality Committee from the New Jersey area of the Order of Malta. Thank you for joining us this morning for our November Spiritual Outreach Call. We are grateful to have Deacon Jack Shea, a deputy chaplain from Westchester, who will be speaking to us about the Gospel of Luke as the Gospel of Mercy. Deacon Jack Shea was ordained a deacon by Cardinal Timothy Dolan in 2010 in the Archdiocese of New York. Deacon Shea is the Director of Community and Charitable Outreach for Saints John and Paul Parish in Larchmont, New York. He has also been a teacher of religion there since 1991. In 2017, Deacon Shea was invested as a deputy deacon chaplain for the Order of Malta. He is also a lecturer for the Knights of Columbus. Deacon Shea devotes a large amount of his time to combating food insecurity in vulnerable communities, to securing food and clothing for various shelters, pantries, and elder care facilities in the Westchester and the Bronx. He has been on the Lord's Pilgrimage 3 times. Prior to ordination, Deacon Shea worked in the food and beverage industry for over 35 years, where he directed the sales and marketing efforts of soft drink bottlers, RTD tea brewers, beer, wine, and spirits importers, and shelf-stable milk companies. He has also led the U.S. divisions of companies from China, Israel, and the United Kingdom. Deacon Shea leads a steadfast group of families on the Church of St. John Paul and La Marais Catholique Francophone de Westchester, who tirelessly serves the brown bag lunch program at Trinity St. Paul. During the pandemic, they faithfully supplemented the brown bag lunch program with additional lunches during the 5 days per week that the program operated and still continues to operate today. Deacon Shea is married to Maureen Vaughn Shea. Their children are Austin and his wife, Kay and Nicholas. Their first grandson, Oren, celebrated his first birthday this past Labor Day. Good morning, Deacon Shea.
Good morning, Nancy, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for calling in. Our topic today, as Nancy said, is the Gospel of Luke as the Gospel of Great Mercy. However, I added a little bit to it. It's all due respect. It's the Gospel of Great Mercy as personified by our Blessed Mother Mary. I added our Blessed Mother because she, of all of us, personifies Great Mercy. More on that later. Before we begin, we elected a president yesterday. So let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, who under the title of the Immaculate Conception, is the patroness of the United States of America, and ask her to pray for the president and all elected leaders. We hope that they will remember that all life is sacred, from conception to natural death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's begin. In just a few weeks, we'll be celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. We'll be starting Cycle C, as it's called, in the lectionary of our readings at Mass. We will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, my fave, for several reasons. So, who was Luke? Well, first of all, unlike the other evangelists, he was not Jewish by birth. Luke was actually a Syrian-born Gentile Christian, which means that he became a Christian due to the preaching of the apostles and others. He was an accomplished man. For example, Luke was an artist. Tradition tells us that he actually drew the portrait of Our Lady of Phalermos, Our Lady, the title under which we honor her. And it says on the order's website, according to tradition, the portrait of Our Lady of Phalermos was painted by St. Luke and consecrated with the blessing of the Mother of God. Wow. Luke was a teacher, a writer, and evangelist. He wrote two books of the New Testament, his Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. Luke was a member of Paul's missionary team, along with another evangelist, Mark, the author of the first Gospel. But Luke was first of all a physician, a doctor. I think that Luke would have fit in well with the Order of Malta. In fact, his medical care of St. Paul enabled that great saint to continue his mission of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles of the Roman Empire. In his letter to the Colossians, St. Paul called Luke the beloved physician. Luke was also an advocate for the poor. His gospel is called the Gospel of Great Mercy. It is in Luke, for example, that we read the great stories of Lazarus and the rich man, teaching about the need for Christian charity, the prodigal son, and the necessity of forgiveness, and certainly the Good Samaritan, and the importance of showing mercy to others. So St. Luke did what we profess to do in our daily prayer. To put it simply, he took good care of the sick and the poor. Luke's gospel is known as the Gospel of Women, the Gospel of the Poor, and the Gospel of Great Mercy. It's a lot of nicknames. Luke's gospel teaches us about the mercy of God and the mercy we need to show to each other, to our neighbor. It's called the Gospel of Women because women such as Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, or kinswoman of Mary, Mary Magdalene, the sisters Martha and Mary, Joanna, and others are featured prominently. However, none more than our Blessed Mother. Luke shows our Blessed Mother Mary as being with Jesus from the moment of his conception at the Annunciation until his ascension into heaven. And who could possibly be a better teacher of God's mercy than our Blessed Mother? Mary performed, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest acts of mercy in human history when she said yes to Gabriel's invitation from God to become the mother of his son. We need to remember Mary, just like Jesus, had free will. If we go back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his father, knowing full well what was going to happen the following day, that if it was his father's will to do it, he would do it. Mary did pretty much the same thing. She was asked by Gabriel to do something way out of her league, but she agreed to do it. I have been teaching about our Catholic faith to young people for over 30 years in CCD and later on in our school. It seems that every year as we study this gospel, especially the infancy narrative of Luke, someone will ask why Jesus needed a mother if he is the Son of God. And the answer, of course, is that Jesus needed a mother for the same reason we all do. Mothers do everything for us. Jesus needed a mother because he was going to be one of us. He was going to live like us. God had chosen Mary to be the mother of his only begotten son. Mary was a brave and God-loving teenager when she was approached by the angel Gabriel to invite her to do this. She simply responded by saying to him, "Let it be done according to thy word." She had some trepidations, but she trusted in God. What faith? Mary totally trusted God and was willing to do what he asked, even though it would have put her in great peril in that little village of Nazareth. An unwed mother in those days could have been stoned to death under Jewish religious law. Yet Mary knew in her heart that this was God's will for her, and she wanted to please God, and she trusted him to make everything come out all right. Our Lord Jesus Christ would be nurtured in Mary's womb for 9 months and then be born in Bethlehem, not in a hospital, but in a cave used to shelter animals. Jesus was protected by Joseph and Mary from the wrath of Herod and brought eventually to safety in Nazareth. He was raised in that God-forsaken village of Nazareth that nobody ever heard of by Mary and Joseph just like any other child of that time. Jesus taught him his trade, that of a carpenter. Jesus was known as the son of the carpenter. Mary would have made sure that her son and husband had enough to eat and drink. She would have secured the grain to make that flour, to bake the daily bread that kept the little family well nourished. Mary would have made sure that her little boy was safe and warm. They would have also taken Jesus to the local synagogue on the Sabbath, where he would learn the Psalms and the Scriptures. That may seem strange, but remember, Jesus saw the world through the eyes of a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old. He had to be taught by his parents, the first and best teachers of their children, just as we all do. However, we know from Luke that by the age of 12, Jesus was in the temple conversing with the rabbis. So we can assume Jesus knew who he was by that time. Yet still, he went home to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph, and with their support, as we read in chapter 2 of the Gospel, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. At some point, Joseph passed away, and Mary became a single mother, a widow, with all that that entailed in those days. Yet she continued to raise her son, helping him to prepare for his destiny in Jerusalem. We learn all this from Luke's gospel. We know that Jesus wants the best for us, and that naturally would include sharing his beloved mother with us. One of his last acts on the cross is recorded in the Gospel of John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. And with that, Jesus gave us his mother to care for us for all time, as she cared for him. And she has done so. Throughout the centuries, our Blessed Mother has come to us, often appearing to children and young people with messages from God and advice for us. Of course, our favorite has to be Mary appearing to Bernadette Soubirous 18 times at Massabielle in Lourdes in France. During the 13th apparition, Mary said to Bernadette, "Go and tell the priests that the people should come here in procession to build a chapel here." Those words, "come here in procession," means accompanying our brothers and sisters throughout life, in good times and in bad. And you know, that's what we do every May. Every week, accompany our Milords in procession to be with Mary at the Domain and the Grotto and the Baths. Mary, in turn, brings us to Jesus for his mercy and healing. Whether it is physical or spiritual or both, our Milords are healed through our Blessed Mother interceding for us with God. I have personal knowledge of this in my family, and here's my story. 30 years ago, my mother Helen was diagnosed with what was called then terminal cancer. It was in the upper part of her stomach below the esophagus. One oncologist looked at it and said it was called the quiet part of the stomach because it was not often looked at. Endoscopies were not that prevalent in those days. Mom was angry. She was an RN and had a BS, a Bachelor of Science from St. John's University. She was a pediatric nurse at New Rochelle Hospital and had just earned a master's degree in social work from Iona College. She was looking forward to being a counselor at Calvary Hospital. Mom was a true medical professional, and she was angry that this cancer had not been discovered sooner when it could have possibly have been treated. Mom was also a devout Catholic, and the Blessed Mother was very important to her. My earliest memories of praying the rosary was in the back seat of her 1949 Studebaker as she drove us Shea kids around. She had bought that Studebaker when she worked for the Visiting Nurse Association in Brooklyn. Mom was a catechist, and with my dad, a missionary, helping to start a parish in Georgia. That was in the 60s, and there weren't too many Catholics in Georgia, but we went anyway. She was a true Vatican II Catholic. So after all that, you can understand why she might not be too happy with God. She thought she deserved better. So Mom opted for surgery and chemo and radiation, but the prognosis was sadly not positive. Then a knight and dame of the order from Long Island offered to sponsor Mom as a Milord, and she agreed. My sister Kathleen, also an RN, would go along as her caregiver. As I said, Mom was not happy with God, and so I asked her what she was expecting. And she said she did not know what to expect, but that her mother Mary must have arranged everything for her. Full disclosure, I did not know much about the order in those days, if anything, and my knowledge of Lourdes was limited to the movie, The Song of Bernadette. So they went off to Lourdes. I visited Mom when she returned, not knowing what to expect. However, the angry woman who had departed for Lourdes a few weeks ago was now a calm, peaceful person. She said that she now knew what God wanted for her and was accepting of that. Mom had lived her life like that, and I guess she needed to be reminded of that by the Blessed Mother. She and Dad had agreed when they were married that if they did what God wanted, if they did God's will in their lives, he would take care of them, and he always did. And I guess Mary reminded her of that. Mom passed a few months later in her own bed at home with her children praying the rosary around her. Our Blessed Mother had obtained from Mary the grace of a happy death. What a blessing. What mercy. As I said, I didn't know a lot about the order or the pilgrimage to the Lourdes in those days. However, on my first pilgrimage in 2018 as a chaplain, it became clear. After all the hustle and bustle and tension at JFK, and then the airport in Lourdes, and then checking into the hotels, we finally had our first full day of prayer, mass, and procession to the domain. I was in the dining room of the Riviera that first evening, and I realized that a peaceful calm had settled over everyone, milords, caregivers, knights and dames, and the clergy were all at peace. We had brought our brothers and sisters in need of healing in procession to our mother as she had requested of Bernadette. And Mary, in turn, brought us to her son. God gave us the precious gift of his mother to care for us throughout our lives. All we have to do is ask for her help. When we pray or sing the Salve Regina, or Hail Holy Queen, we call Mary the Mother of Mercy. So in closing, why don't we pray it together? Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping, this veil of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and have a blessed day. God bless.
Thank you, Deacon Shea. Such a beautiful story. And sharing that about your mother and her trip to Lourdes. So beautiful.
Thank you for your time and talent
in contributing to this program and for all you do for our members and the association. Thanks to all who have joined the call. The recording will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, December 4th. Bishop Peter Rezaga, a conventual chaplain from Northeast Connecticut, will speak about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Please plan to join us. And may you all have a blessed day. Thank you and goodbye.